Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the FBN Holdings 9-month 2018 Financial Results Conference Call. Following an overview by FBN Holdings, CEO and interactive Q&A session will be available. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. UK Eke, Group Managing Director of FBN Holdings. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and I want to thank you for joining us on our 9-month 2018 results call. I am UK Eke, the Group Managing Director. As usual, I have my colleagues here, the CEO of the Commercial Banking Group, Dr. Shola Adeduto. I also have the CEO of the Merchant Banking Group, Kayode Akinkugbe. I have the insurance company CEO represented here. Wale Areyebi is the group CFO. He's here. Patrick Yamabo, the CFO at the Commercial Bank, is here. And I also have Shegu Alobiosu, who is the CRO at the Commercial Bank. I hope you've had time to look through the presentation. I'll just do a very quick summary of it in 2-3 minutes, and then we'll go straight to Q&A. I'd like to begin, as usual, with slide 5, where we have demonstrated our commitment again to the key initiatives that we enunciated the last time we addressed you. And these are anchored on 4 critical pillars. You will see revenue generation, specifically diversification of the revenue generation base. We also talk about the asset quality, operational efficiency, and then the capital. You will see from that slide 5 that we have made progress. We continue to record very good traction on our e-business activities, and this has resulted in a 26% year-on-year increase in non-interest income. Again, the objective remains to move away from a credit-led model to transaction and digital banking-based model. Also, we talked about diversifying the earnings base, and I'm glad to report that the insurance company, which has been performing above its peers, increased its contribution to group PBT from 6.3% in 2017 to 7.5% 2018. Now, we are happy to announce also that we have kept a very tight rein on our costs, and the growth has remained well below the inflation rates. We'll continue to leverage technology to have better visibility on the costs spent, and also ensure operational efficiency across the various entities. On that slide, I'd like to speak to the asset quality. We are happy with the progress we've made. We see a consistent decline in the impairment charge, and our vintage NPL ratio remains below 0.5. Indeed, it's about 0.3%. However, the largest exposure in our books remains outstanding. I'm talking about the name you know, AE, and we are in discussions, continuing discussions with authorities to see that this is resolved within our strategic planning period, which is 2019. We will assess the position of that exposure, and between now and the end of that strategic planning period, 2019, we will have to take the appropriate action to take it off our books. Slide 6, basically reviewing the operating environment. I'm sure there is agreement that the operating environment remains volatile on the back of drop in GDP growth rates and, of course, the upcoming elections. We have also seen an uptick in inflation. So overall, it's been very challenging 2018, specifically challenging Q3 for us. I'd like to go straight to slide 7, where we highlight the key regulatory development. I think the major issue to flag there is the suspension of the tier-based minimum solvency capital policy, which was to go effect in September, October, but MICOM has pulled back. But notwithstanding, our insurance companies are adequately capitalized, and we do think that if and when MICOM restarts that policy, we would continue to play very actively in that space. Now, I had highlighted the challenging operating environment, and you see that reflect, or the results reflect in slide 7, where we have made, we have displayed the ratios and the numbers that we achieved during the period. Specifically, gross earnings, marginal growth, we saw for the period, less than 1%. But we also know that interest income declined on the back of lower yield on investment securities, and of course, more importantly, drop in loan book. We had anticipated growth in our loan book, but it did not materialize at the level that we had envisaged. I'd like to highlight that the non-interest income was also partly the growth, partly attributable to the FX revaluation gains which we booked in the quarter. But even if you back out this FX revaluation gain, we see an increase in non-interest income by 8%. So again, there's about 13 billion naira FX translation gain embedded in the non-interest income, which is basically as a result of adjustment in FX rate. Slide 9, I talked about improvement in the loan book, but more specifically, we see that the coverage ratio continues to improve year on year. If you look at where we were the last time, we are just about 60%, now 78.5%. So it's further evidence of the work we are doing to ensure that our loan book is clean. There is also emphasis on ensuring sustainability of cleanup, and we're going to get some details as we progress in the Q&A. But I think a major endorsement of our the results we have shown came from the recent release of a rating agency, where the commercial bank has been moved from negative to stable. And that decision basically reflects the fact that the downside risks to the asset quality have been significantly reduced following the remedial actions we've taken at the bank. And so going forward, we will see a progressive reduction in the NPL ratio. Now, I'd like to mention one more point on slide 9, which is around capital. The commercial bank continues to play well above the regulatory threshold, the same thing for the merchant bank, and we do think that this will continue to improve, even as the commercial bank retains earnings without upstreaming dividend. And of course, the other entities will continue to support COCO until we normalize the commercial bank. Moving on to slide 10, which will be my final focus area, I would like to draw your attention to the revised guidelines we have provided on three major areas between the time we addressed you and now. The first is on the cost-to-income ratio. The second is on net loan growth. And finally, the NPL ratio. And of course, the reasons are not far-fetched. We are looking at net revenue, which has decreased on the back of reduction in the loan book, and also the fact that even though we're going to see growth, but it may not be as significant as to cushion the effect of costs, which we will continue to rein in. So the other metrics we have highlighted remain unchanged in terms of guidance, and we would deliver what we have promised at the beginning of the year. So that will be my 6 minutes presentation or summary of the results for the 9 months. I'd like to give sufficient time for Q&A, so the lines will be opened immediately for questions from participants. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. And we will now take a question from Tolu Alamutu.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. I just have a few quick questions, please. The first is on AE, which you mentioned earlier. Can you confirm if the level of provisioning coverage is still at 30% or if that has increased since the last time you reported? Secondly, we know that you called your $300 million bond during the period. I was just wondering how you're thinking about the bond that's callable next year and whether you would maybe try to maintain a presence in the bond market or whether we could see FBN exit the Eurobond market if you call that bond. And then finally on costs, just looking at the new cost income ratio target, obviously it's higher than it was before. I just wanted to know where the cost pressures are coming from specifically and where you think you might be able to make some cost savings perhaps in the fourth quarter, because your cost income ratio was obviously over 60% in Q3. Thank you very much.
I think we can take one other call and then we'll answer in batches. So next question, please.
We'll now take another question from Muya Oni from SBG Securities.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for the presentation. I have a few questions. I think the first is still just more elaborating on AE and just trying to understand where you are in terms of how optimistic you are of progress on the resolution and if there hasn't necessarily been progress, why wait till 2019 to take it off the books? And secondly, also trying to understand the key drivers of your adjustment of your NPL ratio guidance. So has there been just trying to understand what level of deterioration, or is it a case of you haven't seen recoveries come at the pace at which you'd have expected, hence the moderation in guidance between half year and now? And then I think lastly, trying to understand how the planned payment service bank license, what kind of risk or opportunities you see in that space, how do you think players like telcos and co come into that space? What kind of risk do you think that has on the digital drive you've been on so far and the kind of progress we've seen on your e-banking and e-business revenues? Those are my questions.
To the questions that have been raised, I think the TRO will kick off.
Yeah. On A, the provision remains 30%. We are reviewing the exposure in a dynamic manner. And if at any point in time we have there's need for us to change our provisioning, we will do so. But as of today, we've made progress. And we are confident that AE will be resolved. It's no longer an issue of if, but when. And knowing fully well that this is a political asset, we are also actively engaging politically to ensure that this is resolved. On the NPL guidance, the change in NPL guidance is just trying to answer to the foreign currency transition impact on foreign currency exposures. You will admit the fact that between December 31st, 2017 and now, we've had almost 20% change in, almost 10%, 15% change in currency value. And that will also impact foreign currency exposures that may not be resolved within the financial year.
Okay, this is Patrick. So there's a question around cost, where the pressure is coming from, as indicated by the cost-to-income ratio. I think the first thing is that our OPEX is under control. If you'd notice, the year-on-year growth in OPEX at about 6-7% is below inflation, and that is after factoring in currency impacts on our OPEX base. The cost-to-income ratio issue you flagged is actually more around our reps and specifically to our net interest income. The summary of our net interest income, where it came out, where it could have been, is really twofold. The first is we've not grown our loan book as quickly as we thought we would this year, and for several reasons, including ensuring that we book the right credits. It's an industry-wide event, and indeed, year-to-date loan book industry shrunk by about 700 billion. The second bit has to do with the general rates environment, which impacted the pricing of loans, and very importantly, treasuries. For a bank like First Bank with a high liquidity ratio, you can understand how the rate environment impact on treasuries would impact our earnings. So in summary, our OPEX is under control. The initiatives aimed at managing that are working out as planned. It was more about REV, specifically the interest income as driven by our ability to grow risk assets given the prevailing market environment as well as the rate environment.
This is Shola Adegunton. On your question regarding our the Eurobond that is due for that is callable in the course of FY 2019, where we are that we continuously evaluating our position, we will take the right decision within the context of our liquidity and also within the context of our pedigree and the need for us to continuously to be active in the global financial market. So it's early days, but it's something that is clearly under continuous evaluation. There's a second question around the potential impact of payment services banks. Where we are is that the central bank has released a draft guideline. All the key participants in the market, banks, other institutions, and even the institute, that's the Chartered Institute of Bankers, we've responded to the draft guideline, and so it's up for discussion. But having said that, we as First Bank, we believe we are strategically positioned. We will continue with our digital banking rollout. We've been quite successful with our agency banking. As I speak today, we have the number of agents we have working for us are in excess of 10,000. We have the country strategically covered. We've covered everywhere in Nigeria, excluding a couple of local governments where there are security concerns and challenges. We've been quite successful with our USSD banking. As we speak today, we have in excess of 6 million customers on that particular platform. So we are well positioned. We will continue with our own rollout because we believe we do have a competitive advantage to continue to exploit this particular opportunity. So we fully prepared, and then we are engaging both as individual bank and as industry with the central bank to assist them in formulating the right policy that will shape the way these payment services banks will work. So the jury is out.
Okay, can we take the next set of questions, please?
Yes, we will now take a question from Bizi Ayoeji from Exotic. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. I just had one quick question. I was wondering if the NPL balance based on the NPL ratio provided would be the same as the Stage 3 gross loan balance. I know you haven't audited the results, but I'm hoping you can give some sort of indication of whether or not they're the same or close.
Hello. Yes. Let's take more questions, please. If you can call in other questions.
Question from Ola Ogunsanya from RENCAP.
Hi, good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. My first question is on asset quality. So if we assume a constant Naira rate, what would the NPLs have been in absolute terms? And what would the NPL ratio have been also? Secondly, looking at slide 20, is it right to assume that a quarter of your term loans mature in a year? And if that's the case, how do you then balance that out between a continued shrinking of the loan book and growth? Essentially, will you be able to replace those loans fast enough? And based on your guidance of NPL ratio, you're assuming 30 billion. So is that largely a 30 billion reduction? Is that largely on the back of recoveries or write-offs? Those are all my questions for now. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take another question from Alea Jonakugu from Leadway Pensure. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm just hoping for a quick update on the MTS facility, how are negotiations going there. Secondly, I want to know what portion of your loan growth was FCY driven. And finally, I noticed a previous quarter is now in the 40s. I don't know if there's any reason for that. Those are all my questions.
We'll now take another question from Jerry Nabu from Cardinal Stone. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. So I'd just like to know what your net open position is currently, one. And then secondly, I also want to know what happened to your fee income, because I think it actually declined during the quarter. From what I can see, your e-business transactions improved, but then fee income declined, net fee income. I noticed also that you booked higher fee expenses during the quarter. So what really happened? In your notes, you said something about customers using other banks' ATMs and the charges you had to pay on that. But why was that the case? I mean, did you have significant amounts of downtime during the period in terms of your e-business channel? So what really happened there? Thank you.
Raise now.
Let me start with the RENCAP. The NPL issue got changed because of foreign currency translation impact. Without foreign currency translation impact today, our NPL would have been 17. But with foreign currency translation impact, we have this expansion in the NPL loan book, in as much as we are trying to resolve other Naira-based NPL transactions. The other one is on if we have 30% reduction in foreign currency exposures, what will it be? If you go back to the same thing, that if 30% reduction in foreign currency NPL will take us to about 16.5. So if you walk it back in respect of that, the issue of NPL being stage 3, yes. So what we have reported and what we've seen in NPL is stage 3. Stage 2 is, as per IFRS, everything after 30 days to be for 90 days for non-specialized, and for specialized after 180 days. So for every 30 days will be stage two. And you know that anything 30 days could be watch list. It could fall back. It could be delay in payment. So those ones will not form part of our NPL until he has crossed the NPL barrier in stage three. On EMTS, we believe that EMTS will be closed this Q4. As we explained earlier, the bank has taken 35% loan loss provision. In our opinion, we don't think we will take more provision. However, if we need to take, based on judgment, we won't take more than 5% more to make it 40, based on what we know will be coming to us as payback, based on the amount to be shared today that has been signed, and the portion that will be structured. So the amount what will be taken out. So extra impact that we need to see will be less than 5% if we need to take more in it.
So I'll take two questions. The first has to do with fee income, and the second has to do with the NOP. In terms of the NOP, our NOP has improved significantly. Currently, NOP stands at less than 15%. In terms of the decline in fee income, there are two key drivers for that. One has to do with fee income around loan creation. And as we earlier explained, loan momentum during the period was less than planned. And then the second had to do with financial advisory type fee income. Again, a reflection of the operating environment. The increase in EB's expense you noted is a reflection of the increased momentum of our e-business transaction velocity. So I think one way to put the e-business income in context is to think about it as a net. So if you net off the e-business income against the rest, what you would actually note is an improvement on a year-on-year basis, quite a significant improvement on a year-on-year basis, north of 40%.
The only thing to add around your question on ATM machine, etc., is that we are aware of locations where we don't have enough number of machines, and there are plans at very advanced stage to ensure that we close that gap, and that will ensure that our payout to other banks in respect of ATM transaction is minimized going forward.
Our foreign currency loan book is about 51% of total loan book. And you appreciate that we have foreign exposure, especially in oil and gas, project finance, and that also has implications for the books. However, more importantly, is the issue you raised about term loan, a quarter of that terminating in less than 1 year. For us, it's part of our strategy to actually to reduce the tenor of our loan book. Two, is the fact that we have pipeline of approvals that we have today that will replace these loans even if they drop off in the next 1 year. But in looking at our term loan book, you should also look at the fact that personal loans, they are also term loans. So today you have personal loans of 3 years or 4 years. So even looking at our term loan book, you will see that a portion of that is also personal. So as we also grow our consumer loan book, the term loan will continually be replenished.
Okay, I think we've addressed all the questions that were raised in the last batch. So can we move on to the next batch of questions?
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will now take a question from BZ Ayoeji from Exotics. Please go ahead.
Thanks again. I just had one more follow-up question. Could you please give a sense of what sectors you expect to see growth from next year in terms of growing your loan book? What would be the focus sectors, or where do you see the most opportunities for next year? Also, if you could just confirm if you're still seeing the trend in pay down sustained into Q3 and Q4 so far. Thank you.
We'll now take our next question from Ola Ogunsanya from RenCap. Please go ahead.
This is just a follow-up question to the growth question I had earlier. So then that means you're saying you are going to grow more than 20% next year, which seems very aggressive in this environment. So if you please just clarify, like the previous caller asked, where exactly is the growth coming from? And my second question was on NPLs. So I don't think you fully understood my previous question. It's really the 30 billion reduction in the absolute NPL number. Is that coming from recoveries, or is that coming from writing off 30 billion in the fourth quarter of the year? Thank you.
We'll now take another question from Oyeneke Eluwoya from Arm Invest. Please go ahead. Your line is open. Please go ahead. I will now hand it back to the speaker.
Shoot a 25% of the term loan. And for us, if you have working capital, which is we are more of LLC and all those things that turn out in 180 days, really short term, you have term loan amortizing, you have a lot of term loan replacing them. You don't need 25% loan growth in a year for you to rebalance your loan book. Because when the term loans are running out, you will need to replace the term loans and also increase your activity in the working capital space, which LLCs trade will fit into. Then for the sector of growth for next year, we are looking at manufacturing, consumer loan, and export. The reason for the consumer loan is we know that with the debate on minimum wage going on, if that is to be actioned next year, households might need to refinance their balance sheet. And that will be an opportunity for us to create, especially for federal civil servants, that we know they are still liquid today and across the industries. And for manufacturing, we know that the government is trying to diversify the economy. And with the ISSF going on now, most companies who are setting up, I mean, we are participating in that area, and that is going to manufacturing companies, and they will import raw materials to take care of that. Again, in the spirit of diversification of the economy, non-oil export, we also take a proportion of our interest so that we ensure that we participate in sectors that will, one, impact the economy, and two, that cash flow will be strong enough to also pay out the loans.
Okay, questions?
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question at this time, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. I'd like to hand it back to the speaker for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much for joining us today. I just want to recap what I said in my opening remarks. I will have a clear focus on our long-term strategic objectives, and that's anchored on the three-year planning cycle 2017 to 2019. We do believe and we like to confirm that we have done sufficient heavy lifting, particularly in the last 2 years, to confirm to all that follow the story that truly we are going to deliver on the commitment we made over the next remaining 18 months or so. We think that the building blocks have been laid for what will turn out to be a very good performance in 2019. And so again, I thank you for participating, and we look forward to hearing from you again when we address you in 2019 for the full year result. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.